Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Zayin. We're holding the very bottom of Kif Tes Zayin Amud Beis, the last five words, Boyirab Abba Bar Mamo. As a recall, just going up a few lines above that, we had the Mishnah yesterday, where you have an Abayis and you have an Aliyah. The Abayis and Aliyah were owned by a landlord. Abayis meaning the first floor, Aliyah is the second floor. The second floor tenant, unfortunately, had Nivchas Aliyah. Part of the floor fell through. How much? We had a machlokes Rav and Shmuel yesterday, whether it's Beroiv or Ba'arba'a Tvachim. But, David, please put yourself on mute. Thank you. Regardless whether it was Roiv or Abba, says our Mishnah, the Balabas down below has to go and fix it. After all, he's the landlord. But what happens if he doesn't go and fix it? So it says in our Mishnah, Hare Bal Haliyah Yorid V'dor Lamata. So then the second floor tenant can go and say, listen, we are part of the leases that you're supplying me with an apartment. This apartment is unlivable, so I'm moving down. Yorid V'dor Lamata. Ad Shiasakali Saliyah, until the landlord fixes up the property upstairs. So Freyti Morboy Rabamba Marmal, top of Kuf Yud Zayin Omed Aleph. Kishudor levadi hudor kimei kara. I do mishneim darim. The amalei adaitel afkinon loyagri lecha. The tenant says to the landlord, part of the lease agreement was that you're going to go and supply me with an apartment, but it's not just an apartment. It's an apartment where I live by myself without other people. After all, that was the intent. And therefore, if I'm moving down to you, like our Mishnah says, then unfortunately, you're going to have to find another apartment for yourself. Or can the landlord say to the tenant, yes, it's absolutely true that I agreed to go and provide you with an apartment, but under these circumstances, I certainly didn't agree to go and evict myself from my own premises. So, no, top of the Kishuhudar, when the upper tenant can move downstairs, like it says in our Mishnah, Dar Levadi Hudar can make kara. Can he insist I want to live by myself? In other words, an apartment just for myself, like originally. Or do I say that both of them share the premises? I certainly didn't have in mind when I leased to you an apartment that I would have to move out somewhere else. Imtin Soloiman, if you're going to be pushed that shala, it's named Dorim Boy. That in fact both of them share the premises down below. Kishu mishtamish derech pesachim mishtamish derech gagin mishtamish. When the upper tenant, who's now going to live temporarily down below, when he wants to enter into the apartment downstairs, can he go through the regular normal entrance like the landlord, in other words, from the first floor, or does he have to go and first go up to the second floor and then go through the hole that has been created down on a ladder or staircase onto the second, down onto the first floor? Is Kisha Mishtamish, Derech Pesach Mishtamish, does he use the regular entry and exit doors on the first floor? Like Derech Gagin Mishtamish, does he have to go up onto, he says, onto the roof? He really means onto the second floor, like he was Mishtamish until now. In the good old days, they didn't have internal staircases as much as we have today. People to get to the second floor would usually go through an external staircase. So therefore, does he have to continue going through that external staircase, go into his apartment up above, and then go down below, presumably on a ladder, down to the first floor? Mi amar kidmi kara, does he have to continue his lease the way he did originally? Ma mi kara derech gagin, achtunami derech gagin. Just like until now he's been using derech gagin, he has to continue the same way. Oidil matzi amalei. Aliyah Kabili Eloi. When I agreed to go and lease the upper apartment, I agreed to make one aliyah to go up. But aliyah v'yaridu Kabili Eloi. Every single time to go down to live in the apartment below, I didn't accept upon myself both going up and going down. And that's, you know, it's kind of ridiculous and it's hard on my old bones and all the rest. Now, this Gemara Shaila, you see, is all based on the Imtim Tzoloimish Neim Dorenboy, that both of them are living together down below. What the landlord presumably is hoping to accomplish is, by asking him to continue going Derech Gagin, is that when he goes up to his apartment up above, there is still utility in the apartment, especially if you hold like Shmuel that says Barbo is enough for you to go down below. Fine. So when he wants to go and when he wants to go to sleep, or when he wants to go and eat, or whatever he wants to do, he'll come down. But he still has the rest of the premises above where he can do a lot of other wonderful things. So therefore, the landlord wants to presumably incentivize the tenant to continue using the upstairs premises as much as possible by forcing him to go up and only later on to go down. And therefore, as long as he's up there, then the landlord down below will have a little bit more privacy, a little bit more room for himself, until the tenant comes knocking and comes down the chute from up above. On the other hand, had the Gemara been poishit the first shayla, that the only one that lives downstairs is only the upstairs tenant who moves down, and the landlord has to move out, so presumably kuifin al-smita sadoim, that of course he would be able to go in through the front door and the back door instead of having to go all the way through the gag and coming down again, because why would there be any sane reason if the landlord's moving out and allowing the tenant to live down below? Every single time you have to go up and go down, go up and go down. In Tinsulim, now if you're going to be pushing that shayla, Matzi Amule Alida Aliya V'Yarida Loi Kabila Aloi, then in fact the tenant has the right to go and say, I didn't accept upon myself every time when I want to go into my apartment to go upstairs and downstairs, I didn't accept that. What about Shtei Aliyos Zu Al Gabi Zu Ma'al? What happens if it's not a two-story building? This is a huge skyscraper. It has three stories. First story, second floor, and third floor. Now, and what? Where was he living until now? Let's assume he was living on the third floor. If Chisol Yaina, if the third floor got damaged, and now there's a hole in the floor, so that the Mishnah says you can go down below, Nachas V'dor B'tachtoy. That's what it says in the Mishnah. So that's straightforward. But what happens if the other way around? What happens if he was renting the middle apartment on the second floor? If Chistachtoyna Ma'al, Ma'al L'mislik, L'gamri, the Elyoyna, can the landlord say, okay, I got to shtel to another apartment, but instead of you coming, living down below together with me, you'll live by yourself upstairs on the third floor instead of the second floor. Me and Rinan, the Amalei Shem Aliyah can be this. Look, after all, you agree that you're not going to live on the first floor, that every single day you're going to climb up the steps. So you climb up a couple more steps to the third floor. Oy Dilma, maybe the tenant can go and say, Chaduli Akibal Aleh, yes, I accept upon myself one row of steps, one floor of steps. Shtei Aliyah is Akibal Aleh. But to go each time up to the third floor, to Shanish, I want to live downstairs. I don't want to have to every single time climb two staircases all the way to the third floor. Ul di shayla says he might take Tishbi Yitzchak. Now we focused until now on the Tanakhama. Let's go to the Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah. Let's look quickly at the whole Mishnah in its entirety, back on Kuf Des Zayin on the base, close to the bottom. Habayis Valia, you have a landlord that owns a house and a second floor. Nivchasu Aliyah, and the tenant who lives on the second floor has now a problem that part of the floor has fallen in. Vein Balabayis writes to the Sak, and the Balabayis says, I'm sorry, I don't have the funds, I don't have the time, this is an old building, blah, blah, blah. He's not fixing it. Hari Balo Aliyah Yorvidar Lamata. So the person on the second floor can go live downstairs. Ad Shitakan Loyes Aliyah, until the Balabus fixes it. Unless you fix it, I'm coming down. Whether he has to live together with the Balabus separately, that's one of the shaylas that we just addressed. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Hatachtei Noisin Es HaTikra, the Elyon Es HaMa'aziva. Rabbi Yossi says it's not only the landlord that's got to pay, the tenant also has to contribute to the effort. How much, what is he contributing? What are we talking about? So Rabbi Yossi says HaTachtei, which means the landlord gives the Tikra. Tikra means the ceiling to the bottom, in other words, to the first floor, which is also the floor to the second floor. The Elyon and the tenant who lives up above, he has to give the maziva. Maziva means plaster. That you go and plaster onto the tikra to perfect the floor up above. And the Gemara is going to discuss this in much greater detail. Zokti Gemara, Yosef Oimer, Ha'atachle Mitzan is a tikra, my tikra. Can you describe to me what tikra means? Yosef Rechanina Omar, Kinem Usanoim. What does that mean? It means that If you ever think of what a ceiling looks like, of course it's hard to tell because you have all the plaster and stuff on top of it, but basically as you start off with a bunch of beams which go in one direction, and on top of those beams you put something else crisscross in the other direction, and on top of that you put a bunch of plaster. The plaster has to go on a base. It can't just go on the beam itself, because in between the beams there are airspace, bases, and therefore it will always fall down. So what was put on top of the beams in terms of the ceiling and the flooring? So according to Rabbi Yosef Chanim, they put on kinim. Kinim are reeds. Sanoim means brush from thorn bushes. They put together those reeds and that brush, mixed it together like a lattice work, and then on top of that, you would pour on top of that the plaster.
You see in some of the old buildings, the mesh and the old plaster on the walls, when they renovate, you see mm-hmm. how they used to do it.
Ah, so you see there was a mesh, exactly. Ustini Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakish, a very unusual name, but Rashi says that was his name, Ustini. And the Yankiv End in the back of the Gemara says it's not and Stini, but Ustini, it's from his part of his name. He said the name Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Lavochim. Lavochim means that on top of the beams, they put planks of wood. Rashi even uses a French term, which is similar to the English term, planks. Those would be made out of wood, and those would be put on top of the beams. Very good. Zokti Marvelik Ligamas, and there's no machloikis between Rabbi Yosef Chanina and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Ustini, the name of Shimon ben Lakish. Mar Kiyasi. In each community, they had different ways and modes of construction. Rabbi Yosef Chanina, they made such a mesh. In Ustini, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, they used to put down planks. But on top of that, they put the maziva, they put the plastic. See, Gemara tells us, I know they trade, there were two people that were dieting, that were living. Chari loy b'chatatzoy, one above and one down below. Ifris maziva. And in fact, there were holes that grew in the plaster, to the point, sounds almost comical. Kimoshi mai iloy, when the first guy upstairs would go and wash his hands, like washing negavasser or whatever. As the yamazin tatzoy, number unfortunately would drip down to the person down below, either onto his head, or maybe onto the floor, or the furniture, or whatever, down below. And therefore, he was a shtikl mazik, as we'll see. Now we have a din Torah. Who's got to go and fix the leak? Says, Imorim Chibaraba, Omro Elgin Mesakin. The guy above, he has to go and fix it, because after all, he's causing hezek down below. Rabbi Loi Mishim Reb Chia, Rabbi Loisi Omar, Hatachdan Mesakin. The guy down below, he's the one that's got to go and fix it. And before we continue on, we have a machloikis over there for between Reb Chiya bar Abba and Reb Loi in the name of Reb Chiya bar Yois. Now, after we finish the Gemara, we close it, somebody's going to ask you, which is the one that held that Elyon Mesakin, and which was the one that held Tachtin Mesakin? Was Reb Chiya bar Abba or Reb Chiya bar Yois? It's difficult to remember. It's a Gemara of a simon. A good mnemonic to remember is the Yosef Urad Mitzrayim. Yosef was taken down to Mitzrayim. What is the mnemonic? Because the second Rabbi Yosef is similar to the name Yosef. And what Rabbi Yosef say? Hatachdoin Mesakin. Oh, the Tachdoin one down below. That's the simon Yosef Urad Mitzrayim. That Yosef, perhaps the original namesake of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef. Even today, we have a lot of people whose real name is Yosef or Yosef. They call him Yossi. And so therefore, Rabbi Yossi and Yosef both held the Tachtoin Hurad Mitzrayim and the Tachtoin Mitzrayim. So that's a way to remember. Fine. But what's the basis of the Machloikis? Why does he say the Elyon Mesakin? He says the Tachtoin Mesakin. Is L'choira, it's our Mishnah. Name Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Loi. It looked at Rabbi Yossi. For Rabbanu K'nifligi. Where's the machlokes in our Mishnah? Because remember the Mishnah, the Tanakhama was silent. It's Rabbi Yosi that said that the Elyon has to put the plaster. Saint Zichos, the Mishnah, the Tanakhama, since he didn't incorporate that as part of his halacha, the Tanakhama apparently disagrees. And he holds that the landlord has to both do the tikra and the maziva and the plaster. So what's the basis of the machlokes? The Gemara, the Choyle machlokes is, in our Mishnah, what happens if some water taka poured down from the upstairs down to the downstairs? Who's got to go and pay for the repairs? According to Tana Kama, it's the guy down below, the landlord, has to go and repair it. And according to Bioy, you know, the Elyon, the one who has the damaged plaster, he has to re-plaster it. Oh, so that's the same machloikis. Like the case of Rukhibar Abin Rukhibar Bioy. The man, the Elyon Mesakin, the one that holds the upper one after Mesakin, Kosova Alam Mazik, the Harki Kasatzmai, Minanizik. After all, he's the one that's causing the damage because of the rain every single time he washes his hands, so he's got to fix it. No, Nizik, if you're having the problem, you know, you can move out, or you can go and fix it. Why, it's not my problem, it's your headache. That's the same as our Mishnah.
I would say no.
No, why not?
A permitted, the Mazik, you may not agree with it, but he's permitted to plant. And okay,
permitted to plant?
Let's say the case where you have a hard oil, or whatever this case is, you're up against the
normal
wall.
Normal usage.
My good friend, that's the next Gemara. Why don't we wait for that Gemara, and we'll see whether you're in the court. Frank Gemara Batizba, you're telling me that the machloikis of Rabbi Yosef Rabbanan in Aram Bishta is Le'inyan, Nizokin Pligi. And the machlokes is the way you just described it, that one holds ala mazik la'archik asatim, and the other one holds anizik. V'ibka sheminan lehu. The very same Rabbi Yosef and Rabbanan appear in another Mishnah. You got to quoted this Mishnah a few days ago. We're going to have it in Mishnah again shortly in Bava Basra. What does it say over there? Titnan marchik asatim min ha'bar esrim v'chomesh amo. V'b'chor v'shikma chamishim amo bein mon ma'ala bein min ha'tzad. What happens if you have an Elon on one property and you have a bar on the other property? Now, an Elon, by definition, has roots, and those roots, over time, grow longer and longer and longer. If the other guy has a bar not too far away, eventually the roots may go and damage the other person's bar. When he examines the bar and he realizes that there now holes in the wall of the bar, he will quickly come to the root of the issue and find that it's the roots of his next door neighbor. So what do you got to do? Says the Mishnah, anytime that you are going and planting a tree, plant it Esrim B'Chomesh Amah, 25 Amis away, because that's how extensive and how long the roots might reach. That's a regular tree. But B'Chor B'Shekma, if you're talking about a carob tree, that's a boxer tree, Shekma is a sycamore tree, they really have long and strong roots. Chamishim amah, even 50 amas. Bein mumal and bein minatzad. Bein minatzad means if they're absolutely parallel, so the roots could go and easily damage the wall of the bar. But even if it's mumal, Rashi says, even if the bar happens to be higher up and the roots of the tree are lower down, nevertheless, the roots being under the bar will also undermine the foundation of the earth, which is surrounding the bar. Again, that could undermine the entire bar. So it's not just a question of Minatzad, even if it's Mumal. So what happens? Machik, gotta be Machik. Now what happens if in fact someone was not Machik, and we have now a clash of the Elon and the bar? Zok Tzanakam. In a bar, Kodam, if the bar came first, Koitzit, cut down the tree. You, the Nizik, the owner of the bar, have the right to go and cut down the tree. And nevertheless, you do have to go and pay for the tree. Why do you have to pay for the tree? Our Gemara doesn't go into it. I mentioned above a bastard, the Gemara is going to say a couple of reasons, but one of the reasons is because when the person planted the tree, who thought in his right mind when he planted the tree that this is going to damage the bar in 5 years from now, 10 years from now? It takes time for 25 amas.
If it's a fruit tree, you cut it down?
That's a very good question. Yet you will have to get to Baba Basra to go and discuss this further. Right? Whenever you're dealing with fruit trees, it becomes far more problematic. Anyway, so going to the nice and dark. In my Ilan Kardam, on the other hand, if the tree came first, lo yakut. Then the tree person says to the bar person, Chucham, you should have realized you saw I had trees on my property. You bought the property, you dug a bar. You dug it much too close to the boundary between the two properties. You learned Baba Basra, you would have known that since I have a tree here, eventually the roots are going to reach the area of your bar. You shouldn't have dug out a bar in that spot on your property. And even cut them layoff, because you can't go and cut down the tree, make a new bar, so what else? Something's there, cut them, something's there. Cut them, not sure who came first, the chicken or the egg, or the bar, or the ilan. Layoff, you can't do it. I'm waiting for the So far, so that's the Tanna Kamma. So now, the Tanna Kamma says that if, in fact, the bor came first, koitich allowed to go and cut down the tree. Why? Because it's al hamazik leharchi chesatzmo. You have to go, since the bor came first, you went and planted a tree, it's your fault, mazik leharchi chesatzmo. Even if the bor came first, why should they claim the tech life? Is that the tech life? Mind your own business. You want to make borders on your property because I'm tight. I want to plant trees on my property. Therefore, since it's your bar that you're complaining about, even though your bar came first, but you can't go and cut down a tree, what do we see from that? Nizik, it's your problem with your bar. You figure out an answer. But it has nothing to do with my tree. Now that's, if you're saying that the pshat in our Mishnah is also ala nizik v'ala mazik, and our Mishnah is just the opposite. Because what does it say in our Mishnah? You have the potential problem over here of the upper and the lower. The Gemara assumed in the Havamina, let's say like the case of the Tilas Yadayim, that the water is coming down. So Rabbi Yossi said in the Sefer that the Elyoin, he has to make the Maziva. In other words, presumably, to prevent the water from dripping, which would mean that's al ha mazik leharchik es atzmon. Well, the Tanna Kamma says no, it's the landlord down below. He's got to fix the whole thing up. So that would be al ha nizik leharchik es atzmon. That's the very opposite of what we're just saying now. Here we're saying by the case of the bor and the ilan, I'm Rabbi Yisrael al ha nizik leharchik es atzmon. Rabbi Yisrael al ha mazik leharchik es atzmon. So if you're telling me that that's the swara of the machlokes between Rabbi Chiya bar Abba and Rabbi Chiya bar Yosi, based on our Mishnah, but Alamazik, Alanizik, we find documented the machlokes of Rabban and Rabbi Yosi, the Gabi Mazik and Nizik, in that Mishnah in Baba Basra. And therefore, if anything, it's certainly not based on our Mishnah, it could be based on that Mishnah. In fact, that's what the Gemara says. Eli ikal meimar pli v'plut Rabbi Yosi Rabban and the hasam kenifligi. That's okay. Chiya bar Abba, who holds, or the Elyon Misakin, Rabbi Loi Mishim Rabbi Chiya bar Rabbi Yosi says Atachdom Misakin. Taka, like you said, it's the machoikis is whether you hold ala mazik laharchikas atzmoi or ala nizik laharchikas atzmoi. And where do we find that machoikis? The Gabi, the Boyer, and the Elon. Absolutely. Those two machloikas fit very well hand in hand. What do we do about our Mishnah? The Maikin of Eid. Our machloikas are not the Netilas Yadayim about the water seeping and leaking from upstairs to downstairs. Machloikas is totally different because it's a tikra kamiflegi. That when you have a tikra that is shaky, so that the upper person, when he walks on the plaster of his floor, which is above the ceiling down below, he says, this is not terra firma. This is a shaky business over here. So the question is, who is the one that has to reinforce and strengthen the tikra down below so that the person on top shouldn't be concerned about the shakiness every time he walks? So Rabbanan Tzavri Maziva Achsuki Tikrahu. After all, this is the landlord. The landlord is supplying the guy with a livable space. Habitable space is a warranty of habitability. He can live up there. You can't go and live in a place where every single moment you walk on the floor, you're afraid the chas v'shalom, you're going to fall through from the second floor down to the first floor. That's not living a normal life. So, who has to be machzik the tikra to make sure that it's strong and firm and stable? The tachter. The Yosi Sovar Maziv Ashvuya Gumoisu. Ashvuya Gumoisal Elyon Ashvuya. What does that mean? Explains Rashi. To go and strengthen the tikra so that it shouldn't shake. All the landlord really needs to do is put in a few pegs here and there to make sure that the mesh or that the planks all stay in place and don't wobble and shake back and forth. Be enough just to put a bunch of pegs. Why does the upper tenant want to go and make maziva? It's really more for cosmetic purposes. To have pegs there in between every little plank and stuff, it's not very appetizing, not very appealing, especially if you're inviting over your future mechutanim over for a reception or something. You want a place which is presentable and nice and devalued. Of course, if he had some Persian rugs, he can spread them out, but he doesn't have it. So now what he really wants to do is make it look presentable and nice and pretty. Well, that, says the landlord, that's really not my job. All my job is to make sure that it's stable, that when you're walking on the ground, that you don't worry about that it's going to fall out.
Like a maka on a roof, basically. Like a, it's similar, isn't it?
I mean, from whose perspective?
I mean, from the perspective of the downstairs guy. I mean, you can't have people walking on your roof and then they'll fall over and the guy could fall through and kill himself.
Yeah, that's for sure. So the landlord says, just to go and fix the guy upstairs floor, all I need to do is do a little fix. I put a screw over here, I put a peg over here, I put an extra nail over here. But he's asking me to go and replaster the whole floor. He doesn't need that whole replastering in terms of livability. He can live without the plaster, but he prefers it because Ashwigumis, so it should be nice and soft and smooth and gishmak. Yeah, you want gishmak? You go and hire the contractor to put the plaster and not. So bottom line is really nothing to do with our Gemara Legabi the Mazik or the Nizik. We're talking about what's the reason for the plaster. Is it to make it livable or to make it cosmetically more pleasable? And that's the machloek between the Tanakama and this. Okay, sounds good. Now getting back to the earlier machloek is about the water dripping down from above. Frank Timora Aini Avakasho Vom Revashi Kiavina Berav Kahana Havamrinan. What does that mean? Even though we said that Rabbi Yossi holds that regarding the case of the bar and the ilon, he said you have no right to go and cut down the tree. Why? Because al nizik laharchik es atzmoi. The nizik, if he's upset that the ilon is challenging and damaging his bar, let him move the bar over. Let him add an additional layer of cement to the bar. It's not the Elon's problem, it's the Balabar's problem.
It's only a grama, right?
Oh, and the reason, says Brother Shai, because it's only a grama. What's the grama? 25 years ago, you planted your tree, and I planted, and I made my bar, and, you know, unfortunately, there's now a clash between the two. But certainly when he planted it, that wasn't a direct hit on the bar. It took 10 years, 20 years, until
yes, but if it's imminent, and it's going to happen...
If it's imminent, you're right. But here we're talking about 10 or 20 years. 10 or 20 years is much longer than imminent.
So there's a statute of limitations.
It's attenuated.
It's attenuated. It's a grum. It says the Gemara, even Rabbi Yossi is moide the giri delay. Giri delay means, literally it means his arrows. What it means over here is, if at the moment when you are washing hands, if a second later the water taka falls on somebody else down below, on his head, on his nose, on his toes, or on the floor, whatever. So then, that's not just a grumma. That's a garmi. Garmi means it's a direct hit. It's as if he's shooting arrows. Sorry?
Instantaneous.
Imminent, but imminent not in the terms of 20 years. Imminent means 3 seconds late. So that's a timara, if that's the case. Even Rabbi Yossi would agree in that case. When he washes his hands, it doesn't fall down instantaneously, but rather it runs through the roof and the various beams upstairs. Then finally it leaks, you know, 10 feet further down where you have an open space there in the roof.
But that water also has a degrading, it degrades, so you do that every day, washing your hands over time. You're degrading the, because over time...
I hear you loud and clear. But the Gemara is now not focusing on the further future renovation of the roof or of the ceiling and the floor. The Gemara is now focusing on when the person washes them, is it a direct hit down below? That would be a garmi, and everybody would agree, ala mazik laharchik es atzmo. Or do you say, no, this is a progressive type of thing. When he washes his hands, it takes 5 minutes until the water starts trickling down to the guy down below. That's really more of a grumma than a garmi. That's why Rabbi Yossi says, ala nizik laharchik es atzmo, not al ha mazik laharchik es atzmo. On to the next Mishnah. Once again, this Mishnah used the expression Shoshnaim. Remember, the first Mishnah in the Perek said Shoshnaim. The second Mishnah said Habayis Valiyah. And Rashi immediately pointed out in the second Mishnah, since it doesn't say Shoshnaim, it was referring to a landlord and a tenant. Here we're talking about, again, two condominium or co-op owners, if you will. Someone owns an apartment on the second floor, somebody owns an apartment on the first floor. And guess what happens? Unfortunately, there was a terrible storm, and the entire house fell down. Now, Omer Bala Ali, the Bala Bayis, the Bala Ali who lives on the second floor, says to the guy who lives on the first floor, live nice. Let's build it together. Each one of the space in our apartments was exactly the same. Each one of them was 1,200 square feet, both the guy down below, the guy up above. No difference in terms of the structure, the infrastructure, the construction,
the floor plan,
the whole thing, the floor plan, everything was exactly the same. So now, how much would it cost to go and rebuild this house? $10,000. I put down five, you put down five, let's get a contractor to go and rebuild this house. So Amar Bali El Balabayis, live nice. Voin Arayis El Live Nice. The guy down below doesn't want. When we say doesn't want it, not necessarily because he's a bad guy. He just may not have the funds, and he cannot afford to go and build anything now. So, you know, give me a couple of months, give me a couple of years, until I'm able to get funds together. I didn't expect to have a whole building collapse, you know. That was the last thing that I anticipated. So what can the Baal Ali? The Baal Ali apparently is better funded than the Baal HaBayis. So Haribalu Haliyah Boine Es HaBayis, he can rebuild the house from his own funds. When we say Boine Es HaBayis, mean the first floor without the second floor. The Dor B'Soichet, he can live down below in that first floor apartment. Until the Baal HaBayis comes up and says, okay, here's my $5,000. Now we're going to rebuild your apartment at the top. You lived here until now, I understand that. But now that I want to move back into my apartment, here's $5,000, get the contractor to build the second floor, and you live upstairs. So the Baal HaLiyah can live downstairs exclusively by himself, because after all, the Baal HaBayis didn't put a penny on the table. He can live downstairs at Chitlanesi Atiyas. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, what right does the second floor apartment have to live downstairs in the first apartment? Because in the original contract among them, there are certain encumbrances and certain liens. And you have that even today. If you're a condo or a co-op owner, if you look carefully at the small lettering, it will say, for instance, you have no right to go and cut electric wires or to go and cut pipes that take water or sewage from your floor down to the floor below or the floor above. Because if people were allowed to do that, they could go and cause tremendous havoc in any building where you have multiple residents. A person will say, you know, this apartment is mine. I'm going to do whatever I want to my apartment. He's going to cut all of the wires. And the problem is that electric wire connects from the basement up to the 12th floor. If he's going to go and cut them, nobody else in the building will have any power. Or if there's a water pipe that goes from the roof, from the water tank all the way down to the basement, if he's going to say, well, I'm closing up that water pipe, after all, it's on my property, I can start. Can't do that. So that's what's called liens and encumbrances for between people that live together in the same building. So here too, the first floor apartment had on it a lien encumbrance for the second apartment above. Now, since you, the guy down below, don't want to build your apartment down below, fine, you don't want to build it, I'm going to go and build it. Until you fund it, I'm going to live down below. I can't live up above on the second floor without a first floor. So I'm going to live here down below, until he's willing to pay him half of the price. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Avzeh Dor B'Toich Shel Chaveir Tzorich L'Halas Eshtar. Yes, Tanakama, I agree with you 100% that the Baal HaLiyah can rebuild down below. He doesn't have to rebuild the second apartment, just the one down below, and he'll live there. However, if and when the Baal HaBayis, that's the first floor guy, comes back in a year from now or 5 years from now and says, here's the other $5,000, now build the apartment up above. At this point, the tenant who lived down below, the second floor guy who lived down below, he has to pay rent to the first guy for using his apartment for the last year or two or five. He has to go and pay rent.
Whoa. Yeah, what's the problem? He had no choice.
What do you mean he had no choice?
The first floor guy didn't provide a first floor to build the second floor on.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand going forward, if he stays there, he pays rent because prospectively he's occupying space that the Baal HaBayis should be able to use.
Mm-hmm.
But retroactively, why should he have to pay?
Very good. So Rashi says the reason why he has to go and pay is because it's Mechzeh Kribbis. Why is it Mechzeh Kribbis? What's really going on over here? Let's think about this. The person who lives down below, he is supposed to pay out now on the day of the building collapse. He should go and put down $5,000 on the table together with the second guy. So that with the $10,000, they'll be able to hire a contractor to go and rebuild the whole building, first floor and second floor. But he doesn't. Instead, I'm going to give you the $5,000 whenever I get the $5,000, and it takes him 5 years. So 5 years later, he hands over the money, here's the $5,000. Okay, Baruch Hashem, now he's given the 50% of the construction cost. The first person who laid out the $5,000 on behalf of the first floor, after all, he rebuilt the first floor apartment. So therefore, he gave him a loan, so to speak, of 5 years extension of credit. During that 5 years, he lived down there. Oh, for that, normally you go and charge a person for living down in your apartment. So therefore, he's living rent-free. You're not happy with that.
No, it's the opposite. He's paying him now. He didn't pay him there so he could use the funds. It's no agar nutter here. He paid him there. He's living there because he needs a place to live.
Absolutely.
He's paying him now for the rent, retroactive rent, feels like interest for the money being advanced today. It feels like the guy put out $5,000 5 years ago to build his own space.
Right.
Now the first floor guy is coming up with $5,000 and he's collecting all the rental stream from the last number of years.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like an interest payment to me. He's now putting down money and he's getting a bonus. He didn't put up the money. He didn't put out any money when the place was built.
Let's think it through. Shelley, welcome aboard. We needed you because we're getting into very difficult real estate issues here.
Real estate, okay. That's my field.
I know.
My fourth field,
yeah. Okay. Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. We have two people that lived together in a house.
One person stands and one house stands.
You guessed it. How did you know? You know the whole story already. And guess what? The building fell down and collapsed. And
yep.
We got to rebuild.
What's upstairs and what's down? Which are my stones? Which are my...
That was yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Today we're talking about that the two are supposed to put down money to rebuild this house.
Uh-huh.
We're talking in the good old days where a house cost to build $10,000. So the person down below had to put $5,000 on the table, and the person on the second floor had to put $5,000 on the table. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the person on the first floor didn't have the funds to put down on the table. So the second guy said, no problem, I'm going to go and build a house. In the meantime, I'm just going to build a house down below. Mm-hmm. First floor. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, what he's doing is he's giving him an interest-free loan. Mm-hmm. How's he giving an interest-free loan? He says, I'm going to go and pay for your $5,000 building space, your living space down below. I'm going to pay the $5,000. Okay. When are you going to pay me back? Whenever I have the money. So let's assume it's going to take him 5 years. 5 years later, he finally pays him back the money.
But he can't escalate the price because an escalator.
We're assuming that construction costs didn't go up. Everything has remained stable. No problems. Fine. So now $5,000, 5 years later, he pays him the $5,000. So nothing happened. He gave him a loan for $5,000, used it to construct his first the house. He paid him back $5,000, he paid back the loan. No problem.
Easy.
The question, however, is what happens if the person who laid out the funds lived in the apartment down below for 5 years? Normally, if you go and live in somebody else's apartment, he charges you rent.
Mm-hmm.
Here, he didn't charge him any rent. Why didn't he charge him any rent? Because of the fact that, you know, he didn't build the space. It was the second floor guy that built the space. Zumtait. The Yehuda holds, if the lender of the 5,000, the one that extended the 5,000 for the 5 years, also lives below with rent-free, Zumtait, Now he's getting back all of the keren that he laid out, that $5,000. Mm-hmm. So the second person who's paying now the $5,000 to pay off, that's the first guy, the first from the first floor, he says to him, yeah, but you lived rent-free in my apartment for the last 5 years. You had no right to go and live rent-free in my apartment. That rent-free living is a zentai, is a hidden form of interest, because now 5 years are over. The 5,000 keren that you gave, you've gotten back. You've gotten back your principal. And in addition to that, you've gotten the pleasure of living in my house for 5 years rent-free. That rent-free status, that is a form of gesundheit, of interest. Are you following
my thinking? I see the argument, but I don't like it, because he has to live somewhere. So he didn't live
here. It wasn't alone.
It wasn't alone. It doesn't even look like a loan. It's clear.
He's laying out $5,000 so he could live
there. Right, exactly. It's not... It's not like, you know, I understand all the things where it looks like ribbis, it could be ribbis, it's an entryway of charging. Right, it's really, it's so clearly obvious the guy just wants a place to live. Because if the first floor guy had advanced the money on the spot, he never would have lived in that space, he would have lived one floor up and had his own space. So there's no nechsek ribbis, it's nechse like the first guy didn't have the money to build his home.
So do you agree with his argument?
No, I think that what Shai was thinking, there's nothing to sneeze at.
All the time you say nechse keribis is a case where people are trying to do things to get the courts to enforce contracts that have a hidden interest component, and it's sneaky. But here there's nothing sneaky. It's obvious the building fell down.
Yeah, no question about it.
Can you explain why it's a loan?
Yes. Anytime a person advances funds on your behalf and
it's
says
not on his, it's on his own behalf to have a place to live.
Exactly. It's not about he's not lending the funds,
he needs to live
someplace.
Would it change your mind if he happens to have a next door brother who loves him like brotherly love and he says you can live rent free in my apartment for the next 5 years?
But he doesn't want to live with his brother. He wants his own place.
What happens if his brother gives him his own place and says rent
free?
What happens if he has other opportunities and options to live? He doesn't have to live in this apartment. And he just lent the guy $5,000. I know he didn't lend it to him in the form of a loan. But Lamasi, he is the one that extended the funds for purposes of building the property down below.
But the property comprises of two apartments,
right.
And he's still giving them funds for one apartment, and he was living in one apartment.
So I think he should, it's like 50%.
Yeah, he shouldn't give up.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, to address your point, that's going to be...
And Barry's point, and everybody else's.
You'll see the next part of the Mishnah. Just wait for another moment.
Okay.
But the words Mechsik Ribis are not my words. If you look at the Rashi, which starts of Umre Yehuda, it's somewhat of a complicated Rashi. Just go to the last four words of the Rashi, which are the end of the third line from the bottom, and then the beginning of the second line from the bottom. Tzorach lehalis leiskar, v'iloi Mechsik Ribis. Otherwise, it looks like he got not an interest-free loan, a loan for $5,000, plus he got the right to live there for free.
Doesn't stem.
So back to the mission. Ella, if you want to conjure up a case where it is not free interest or free living, I have a better Eitzah. The second floor guy should go and shell out and extend $10,000. Why 10? 5 for himself, 5 for the guy down below. Yes. Have the contractor build the entire house.
Right.
And at this point, the second floor guy could live, if he wanted to, on the second floor, because he has both. Now, living on the first floor, he is not getting any benefit from it, because he could have lived on the second floor.
Well, he can't live on the second floor if there's no first floor.
That's you're 100% right. That's what we're saying now. Says Rabbi Yehuda, I have an Eitzah that there shouldn't be any hidden ribbis, and that is Balo Aliyah, Boynes Abayis, V.S.O. Aliyah. He takes $10,000 out of his pocket and pays for the entire construction, first floor and second floor. both have gotten a CEO or CFO from the authorities that you can move in. All zoning requirements have all been met. Just make sure don't make
it's a
CFO.
CFO,
okay.
Still go back to the CEO.
Thank you, right. Okay. Not CEO, not CFO.
Right.
That's why I need you. I told you we need you for real estate. Anyway, so Balaliyah, Boyne is a Bayes Aliyah. Mekare is Aliyoina. He makes sure to go and put up a kira, meaning a roof over the head of the second floor. Biyoshim Abayis, and now he can live rent free down below. Until the other guy goes and pays him his $5,000.
He has a $10,000 to lay out.
100%. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But if he has a $10,000, that would be an Eitzah. Why is this any better? Why can he live now rent free when before you said he could not? Says Rashi, because previously we had a case of Zenehene, the Zeloy Choser. What means Zenehene? The person who's the second floor guy, he had nowhere to live. He's now living down below, so he has Anah. The first floor guy has no chisarim because since he didn't put up any money, there's no way you can go and build a first floor without somebody putting up the funds. So therefore, he didn't lose out by the other guy living down below during that 5-year period. He couldn't live there anyway because he didn't put up the funds. That's a zenehen of zelei chaser. Says Rabbi Yehuda, since he was having hanoah, he has to pay for the hanoah. He has to pay rent. In the new case, since he built both the upper apartment and the lower apartment, he's no longer Zenehena because he could live upstairs in his own beautiful apartment. In fact, it's overlooking the Hudson. It's beautiful scenes. You can go and see all the way to New Jersey. Give out the
New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible, right? Anyway, so that's the second floor. He didn't need. So he's now what's called a Zeloinehena, the Zelechasa. He's not having a no. Why does he have a no? Because he has another option. He can live upstairs. When you have a zeloy man, a zeloy chaser, says Rabbi Yehuda, then you don't have to go and pay any rent because he's not getting any benefit. I guess it's a small benefit that he doesn't have to creak up the stairs every time, but maybe he likes the exercise. So then, in that case, he would be punished. And the Gemara will explain this in greater detail. Zog tigibach. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Mishloishim Mekoimis Shana Lona Rabbi Yehuda, Osali Odem Shehena Mimam and Chaveiroi. We find three times in Shas, says Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah is very, very strong about not having hanoah from somebody else's money, somebody else's property. Says Rashi Shloim Matana. If the person wants to give him a present, it's one thing. However, if a person didn't give him a present, you cannot go and use the other person's property. Midatoi, Shloim Midatoi. If you do, you're going to see you're going to lose out halachically. Where are those three places? Chodah Hodit Nat, Dusu Unzra Mishnah. That the Mishnah says, you, it's true that you extended the $5,000 on behalf of the condo owner down below. Very nice of you, very good. But you're having hanoah from his condo during that 5 years. Eventually he's going to pay you back. When he pays you back, it's his. If it's his, you had no right to live there. You got to go and pay rent, like we had in our mission. So that's case number one. We have case number two. Idach Mahi. We've quoted this already a number of times. Not Anuiz Mitzemel Tzabo. We had this back in Bava Kama. We had it in Bava Tzia not too long ago as well. A person brought pristine white wool to the Tzaba. The Tzaba was the dyer. And the dyer was in very dire circumstances, right? And he needed the business. And he told him, please, Letzvoy Le'odim, make it red. Letzvoy Shachar. Instead, he made it black. Shachar Letzvoy Le'odim. Instead of black, he made it red. What do you do now? Best thing is that the tzaba should go and pay him the value of the tzemer and give that to the bala tzemer. The bala tzemer, he brought in white wool. How much did that cost? Raw white wool? $10 for the entire wool. Now, of course, he's improved it by making it red or blue or black or whatever it is. So, but the owner of the wool says, I didn't want it black, I wanted it red. I didn't want it red, I wanted it black. It's as clear as black and white, or black, at least black and red. So what happens now? So the mayor says, let the tzaba go and reimburse him for the tzemer. Here's your $10 for the tzemer, inshallah ma yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's terrible. Because what's happening now is, the tzaba is getting free wool. You, Mr. Tzaba, you have to go and pay him the $10. But the point is, he didn't have to go and run around town and try to find someone who owns sheep and go and share the wool and find out how much it costs and all the rest and then clean it and more. He got a freebie in terms of that he got ready wool for dyeing. He shouldn't.
But isn't that what he's paying him? Isn't he paying him the retail price of ready wool from a cleaned wool from a merchant? He's not paying him raw wool, which has to be cleaned and
everything
and,
you're saying is correct. What happens if you want to get a brand new sitter? Because your old sitter is now torn and you like to get a new one. I go and buy a sitter in the store and I give it to you as a present. Well, obviously, if you give it to you as a present, you're very, very happy about that. But what happens if I lend it to you and then you use it and you take it away? Okay, you're going to pay me for the sitter. You didn't have to go to Judaica and they didn't have you do your sitter because you wanted Ashkenaz instead of Sephardim. Sephardim said Ashkenaz, a big one, a small one. So I went through all of that.
Transaction costs.
Transaction costs, the overhead expense, right. And the overhead and
the trouble, the headache.
So the mayor says, that's not a problem. You just pay him for it. It's a $10 city. It's $10, you're done. The Buddha said, no, that's not fair to the guy. And therefore, what we're going to do is the following. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds, says, Rabbi Yochanan, I don't want you to have any benefit from my wool. So the wool is given back to the original wool owner. Now this wool has now been improved. Although I'm not happy with it being black, I wanted it red. But nevertheless, it's certainly improved the way it is now, because it's no longer raw. Now it has extra value. So presumably I could sell it, I can give it to someone, or whatever. So what is the amount that he has to go and pay? He pays the lesser of either the hoitzos, whatever the dyer had to go and pay to dye it, whatever his costs were, or the sheva, how much it's worth more in the marketplace. Let's assume that he put in $5 worth of dye and the time and effort, and now you can sell in the marketplace for $20, so it's gone from the original 10 to 15 to 20. He only has to pay him 5, because that's the share of the hoitzois, of the expense. On the other hand, if he put in all the dye, and the dye cost $10 to dye, and however the whole thing is only worth $15, so he only has to pay him the $5, the appreciation and value, he doesn't have to pay him the $10 where the expenses. So he gets the lesser of the two. Vidach, which is case number 3 of Rabbi Yehuda, Mahi, did not. Mishapara mitzas choivoi v'hishlish eshtore. You have a malvin, a loive, and a sholish. The loive paid off, let's say, 50% of the choiv. He doesn't want to leave the shtar with the malva, because it says on a full $100 and he already paid $50. The malva doesn't want to mess up the shtar by writing any receipts on it or crossing anything out. We give it to the sholish, and he tells the sholish, Yamala, imani im ein ani nois lechom mikan viad zman ployni. If I don't pay the remaining $50 balance on this within 6 months, tell my shtar, you can give him the whole shtar, even though I will be endangered of that he's going to try to collect the full $100, but that's okay. If I don't pay within 6 months, just give him the shtar to the mother. He gives mantling nasan, and you say me, and that's what he told him. Sholish, I'm not back in 6 months with the money, just give him the shtar. If you don't maloyitay, don't give him the shtar. Why? Because the mother is going to be able to collect more than he's entitled to. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yehuda says, Asli Adam Shehenim Mamachaber. You're not going to go take somebody else's money. And he's going to take not the remaining 50, he'll be able to go and ask for the full 100. Therefore, don't give the shtar to the malva afterwards. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Freiti Mar, Amai, you really have no raya, Rabbi Yochanan. Dilma, each case can be interpreted differently. Dilma, Akan Likam Rabbi Yehuda Hacha. You know why Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says you got to pay rent? Putting aside Mechseg Karibis, putting aside Asa the Adam Shehanim Imam Chaver. No, the reason is Mishum Deika Shachru Risa, because there's wear and tear. In 5 years from now, after the first floor apartment owner pays his $5,000, and he sees that the second floor guy has been living there for the last 5 years, he's going to go into the room. And it's very choshech. It's going to be dark. Mm-hmm. In terms of, you'll see that the walls are not pristine, white, and beautiful, mm-hmm. as if they were freshly painted. He's lived there for 5 years. I mean, it's only normal, regular, normal wear and tear.
And the one upstairs is on the higher madriga.
Higher madriga. Anyway, so bottom line is, that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds you got to go and pay rent. Not because Osel Adam Shehen and Mam Chaver, he's having Hano. The reason is because he's taka using the apartment and he's wear and tear.
So then wear and tear. She'll pay rent. Rent. That is much more.
It's a very, very good. Our Mishnah doesn't say how much. It just says Sarchal Yischar. Could be according to this interpretation of Gemara. He only has to pay a fraction of what the normal market rent would be.
All right.
Gemara doesn't go into that. Inami, on to case number two. That's why the other mitzvah shachar yishum to come ishara. The reason over there is not because Rabbi Yehuda says it's not fair to the wool owner that he originally bought the wool and had all the tircha and the overhead and the trials and tribulations and finding it and blah 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 blah. You just got to pay him off. I wanted that wool. So you're saying that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the reason why he has to go and pay the yitzia, the lesser of the two, the yitzia and the shvach, is because also adam shehenu imam chaver. Maybe the reason is because of the famous rule of mishana. For tonight, kol mishana yirah tachtoina. Anytime you try to do a shinoi without the other guy's permission, then automatically you have the worst hand in terms of negotiation, in terms of litigation. And finally, the third case, mishapar miktas choyvei nami. What's the reason why Rabbi Yossi says, don't give back the shtar? It's not because you're not allowed to be mahana, not allowed to be nena, imam chaveirai, without his permission. It's because of asmachta. Because he never in a million years thought he's not going to pay off the choyv in the next 6 months. And that's why he spoke so arrogantly and said, if I don't pay it up, you can hand over the shtar. Did he really want to hand over the shtar? It was a $100 loan. He didn't want to pay $150 for the loan. And therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, you have no right. Now, we could put two dots over here because this starts a brand new Gemara. And the brand new Gemara from here until the Mishnah is very, very straightforward. All the Gemara is telling us is that now in the process of reconstruction of the house that has fallen Nebuch to the ground, what happens if either of the two, the Tachtoim or the Elyon, want to make changes in the construction? Mm-hmm. If they are beneficial changes, absolutely, that's great. If they're detrimental changes, no good. How do you define beneficial or detrimental? If you happen to be the lower guy, and instead of tiny, small bricks, you want to go and build with larger bricks, then the guy up above, not only will he have no reason to be upset, he'll be so happy. We won't have another building collapse because we're going to have, Baruch Hashem, much stronger foundation, much stronger and wider bricks.
What if it costs more?
He's going to fund that. We're not talking about... He has to fund
that.
The
downstairs guy is going to pay for it.
Exactly, the downstairs guy. And it's the other way around. What happens if the person up above, he decides to go and buy heavier, bigger bricks, then the guy down below says, that's not good, because that's to show him that can be more weight on my property down below. So therefore, if the guy down below wants to go and expand and use better and stronger and heavier and wider bricks, fine. He pays for it, and the Elyon is very, very happy with that.
And that's a bolder move.
A bolder move. What happens if the guy down below wants to use tinier bricks and smaller and more narrow? Then the guy up above can go and protest and say, no, that's no good. That makes the whole thing even more fragile than it was until now. So that's the thread that runs through the whole next chapter. So Omer Vachem Bar Adam Ishmei De'ulav Tachtoin Habo L'Shabbos. If he wants to make a change, B'Gvil Shoymen Loi, B'Gozes Ein Shoymen Loi. What's the difference between Gvil and Gozes? Gvil and Gozes, the difference is whether the bricks have been hewn, H-E-W-N, where they've been all smoothed out, or where there are protrusions sticking out from them. If they're nicely smooth, what's going to happen is when you put the bricks together, it's going to be thinner and narrower. If you're talking about, however, the types of stones that are not hewn and therefore they have protrusions, when you put the two together, you're going to have to fill in more cement, and therefore it's going to be a wider foundation rather than a narrower. David, please put yourself on mute. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi. Bigvil Shoymen Loi. Zok Rashi. Im hoya metchil me avni gozes. It was previously made out of avni gozes, which means they were nicely hewn and nicely smooth. He now wants to go and build it with avni gvil, which are these unhewn stones. Shoymen Loi. Why may shu machzik as a binyan? Because he gives strength to the binyan down below. Shechoymas gvil rechava mishel gozes. Gvil, by definition, is wider than the gozes one. How much a tefa? Kinama perikam the bovet baser, which we'll learn on Thursday on Daf Beis. Bigvil zenoisin gimel tvachim zenoisin gimel tvachim. If two people are building together, he gives three tvachim. He gives three tvachim. Or because zenoisin tvachim umech zenoisin tvachim mechach. By gozes, since they are cut stone, he's only giving two and a half and two and a half. Two and a half and two and a half add up to 5, while you have Gvil 3, and 3 adds up to 6. Vas Mufarish Gvil Abonim Delay, the Shapion, to Murshi did who? The Tapi Ba Tefa. The Gvil Abonim Delay, the Shapion means that they have not been nicely smoothed and polished. Murshi did who means that protrusions that come out add a tefach to the foundation of the building.
But what if the guy upstairs is a chazan and he decides to cantilever?
That is if you're talking about gvil and gossis. Let's continue on the kfisin. Yeah. The kfisin ain shaymaloi. We'll continue on the gemara. The kfisin ain shaymaloi. The levenim shaymaloi. What are. I'm sorry. I skipped down to the tachta. Start again. Mishmei de ula. Tachta nabal lishan is gvil shaymaloi. He wants to put in the gvil, which means these unused stones, which means that it's going to be wider. Now it's going to be 6 tvachim wide instead of 5 tvachim wide. Shaymaloi. You listen to him. The Gozis, he wants to go and make it more narrow, only 5, ain't shaymalai. He wants to use b'kfisim shaymalai, but levenim ain't shaymalai. What's the difference between kfisim and levenim? Kfisim are basically half levenim, where you are taking 2 half stones and combining them together. Since you're doing that, you have to put cement in between. Once again, it's going to be wider than if you were to use the complete levenim, where you don't add the 2 halves together. Sometimes 2 halves are greater than the whole. So if you look again in the next Rashi, Bikfisim, Archi are bricks, Chatzoi Levenim, they're exactly half the size of a Levenim. How wide are they? 1.5. Put 1.5 and 1.5. The Tefach Avonim Dakis Vesid Beinim, and you fill it up between the 1.5 and the 1.5 with another additional Tefach. Now you have altogether 4. But the veinim shleimus is Rashi. Ein oivishul koysel kimidas roichman ein gimel tvachem klala dover. So you don't have to remember all the details, says Rashi. What's the rule? Hatachin shemarchiv oivi abinyanu machzikoy shoymin loy. If he wants to go and extend it and widen it, of course we listen to him. If anything, we embrace and hug him and say thank you. In a mike chizukoy, if he wants to go and make it narrower, ein shoymin loy. She'elyon tiyano lemachar yipal, it's going to fall. Elyon, on the other hand, shibola hachmedes amasa. What happens if he wants to use the wider, heavier bricks up above? Tachta ma'akev alav, then the tachtin can say no. Because man shibamayit koiv do yishayim ulay. As long as he wants to be mayit the koiv, to make it less heavy, and you listen to him. So back to the Gemara. Sa'atachta nabal yishayim ulay, b'kvil yishayim ulay, because this ain't yishayim ulay. B'kvisis, kvisin. Shaymalai b'levenim ain't shaymalai. Nesachich ba'arozim. Arozim are nice, strong, heavy-duty cedar wood, which is much, much stronger than sycamore wood. If he wants to go and put arozim shaymalai, he wants to put this cheap shikmin, which is sycamore wood, ain't shaymalai. L'mayit b'chaloinoi. So what happens if the guy down below wants to use less window area? It's not glass windows like we have today, but it means holes in the wall where they put up the shutters. If he wants to make fewer or smaller windows, that's great. That means he's using more bricks. Show him a light. How does the Chalim see if he wants to add to the number or the size of these openings in the wall? Ain't show him a light, because that makes it weaker. Lagbia ain't show him a light. If he wants to make, instead of a 7-foot ceiling, he wants to have an 8-foot ceiling, ain't show him a light. That's no good, because the guy up above says, uh-oh, we don't have enough strength to hold up your 8 feet to now my additional apartment. The mite, if he wants to go make a shorty apartment from 7 or 8 feet down to 6 feet, they tremulate, and we listen to him. Now, this is all the tachta. Elyon is fakeh. Elyon shebo l'shad is because it's tremulate. He wants to go make thinner walls. That's good for the guy down below, because it means there's less weight. Bigvil, if he wants to widen the walls of his apartment, ain't shaymalai, because the guy down below says this wall cannot hold up this additional weight. Bigvisin ain't shaymalai. You want to go and have these wide bricks, not really wide bricks, these are thinner bricks, because only half of the them, but you're going to fill it up with the mortar and the cement in between. No good, that's much more weight than my wall. Levenim shaymalai, you want to go and make these thinner bricks, which only 3 tach, that's okay. Barozim ain't shaymalai, you want to make walls with the heavier wood, which is a very good, strong wood. That's very nice for you. But for me, it's heavier for me. The shikma, if you have the lighter wood, that's good for the tachta. So if the guy up above wants to make now larger windows because he wants to have a better scenery and all the rest. Mm-hmm. The more windows, the bigger windows. Shaymin like that. The guy down below, that's great because there's less weight, less bricks. The Ma'id B'chalayin is if he wants to close up the windows and have fewer, Ein Shaymin like. Like Bia, if he wants to go and make higher ceiling, Ein Shaymin like. Again, that means there's going to be more weight, more layers of bricks. You know, listen. L'mayin Shaymin like. Fine. Now, Ein Loy L'zeh V'loy L'zeh Mai. What happens if both of them are short of funds? $10,000 to reconstruct. He asked the guy down below, do you have $5,000? Ainly. You, the guy up above, do you have $5,000? Ainly. What are we going to do? They decide we're going to sell the property, the real estate.
Uh-huh.
Now that we sell the real estate, how are we going to go and divide up the proceeds? Mai. Tanya. Reb Nosson Oimer Tachtei Noito Shnei Chalokim V'Elyon Shalosh. Shlish, the guy down below will get now 2/3 of the value of the real estate, and the Elyon will get 1/3. What's the svar behind this? Because the Elyon has a lien on this property, not to build on the first floor.
He leans on it.
He has an encumbrance on the property that he can go and build a second floor. Until you build the first floor, you can't build a second floor. So obviously, his right to build is weakened by the fact that he's dependent on the guy down below. So therefore, the guy down below has a greater lean for using this property than the guy up above. So it's a 2/3, 1/3 ratio. V'chein oimer, no, it's not 2/3, 1/3, it's 3/4, 1/4. V'chein oimer, tachlin noitel, shloish chalokim, be'elyon noitel, revir. So how would we paskin between Reb Nosson and the Chachamim? Amar Rava, nekoyt Reb Nosson b'yarcha, remember what Reb Nosson said, 2/3, 1/3. The dainu, as a gebaldi gedayin, when he has a din Torah, he goes all the way in the depth in terms of the svara and the understanding, etc. Kasover, kama mafsid aliyah b'bayis. How much does a second floor ruin and undermine the guy down below? Tiltsa. Now, what does he mean by that? Let's assume that if you only had one floor, this house would last, let's say, for 60 years. As a result of the fact that we're adding now a second floor on top, it's only going to last the marshal for 40 years because of the extra weight and all the rest. So therefore, it's going to ruin it by 1/3. Otherwise, it'd be 60 years. Now it's only 40 years. Helka chislei tilta, that's why he collects 1/3 of the value of the property if it is so.
Wow.